وترى الشمس إذا طلعت أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The many virtues of Surah Kahf which I mentioned last time, I will mention three more ahadith to you which are specifically mentioned in Sahih Muslim. The first hadith is the Prophet said that a person who learns, memorizes, inculcates the teachings that are mentioned in the first 10 ayahs of this surah. First 10 ayahs of this surah, such a person will be saved from the fitna of Dajjal. And you know, the precursors of the fitna of Dajjal already started. We're already living in that age of fitna. Allah knows best when Dajjal will come. But he might come in 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, we don't know. But if a person, if it only takes 10 ayahs, learning 10 ayahs and memorizing them and living them and understanding and reflecting on them, that's something which all of us can do. And just to understand how incredible and how severe and intense this fitna of Dajjal would be, even the Prophet himself, even though he knew that Dajjal would come after him, but the Prophet himself, ta'aliman, would make a dua to Allah that Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min fitnatid Dajjal, that Allah, I seek refuge in you from this fitna of Dajjal. And according to some ahadith, in fact, all the anbiya used to make, according to some muhaddiseen, all the different anbiya also used to make this dua. It's an incredible fitna. In fact, there's another hadith which mentions that when Dajjal will come, he will not be able to enter into Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Tayyibah. Those are the two sacred sanctuaries. He will not be able to enter them. However, there will be some people inside of Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Tayyibah who will be so bedazzled and deceived and deluded by this fitna of Dajjal that they will leave those protected sanctuaries, they will come out, and then they will go out and join the forces of Dajjal. So, you know, it's not difficult to understand how severe this fitna of Dajjal would be. We also are living in a zamana where there are so many other fitnas. People fall prey to different fitnas, the fitna of modernity, the fitna of atheism, the fitna of kufr, the fitna of agnosticism. And then just one can imagine that if so many of us are falling into these fitnas, then what will happen when the greatest and the ultimate fitna will come, which is the fitna of Dajjal. And the second thing the Prophet mentioned is that if a person happens to live in the age of Dajjal, and if they ever come across Dajjal in person, if they can only recite these 10 verses of Surah Kahf in front of Dajjal to Dajjal, then Dajjal will not have any power. He will not have any power or ability to impress or to affect this person. Right? Such a big fitna of Dajjal, all we have to do is recite 10 verses to him. Right, but the message here is that only that person will be able to recite those 10 verses who lived the teachings of Surah Kahf, right? Only someone who memorized them, understood them, and lived a life will remember that when Dajjal comes, they should recite these surahs across him. And this also shows to you another thing, which is the power of the Arabic language. If someone recites these first 10 ayahs in Urdu or English, it's not that fazila is not there. Right? It's only about the Arabic language. Nothing will happen if you recite Urdu or English, but only when you recite the Arabic, even if you don't understand it, still it will have an effect. Right? It all relates back to this power of the Kalamullah, the power of the speech of Allah, the power of the Quran itself, and how much we have this ta'luq with the Quran and ta'luq with the Arabic of the Quran. Alright, so continuing now with what we left, we were on ayah number, we completed the first ruku, and we have to begin from ayah number 13. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ, that indeed we are telling you their story, their kissa, with absolute haq, with complete truth, with complete accuracy, who they are and what happened to them. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ, and they were a group of young men, they were a group of young youths who believed in their Rabb, and because they had this belief, what happened to them was وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَىٰ, Allah Ta'ala thus increased them in Hidayah. So we will give you a handout. We've already uploaded this on the forum, on the group. There are several ways in which a person can increase in hidayah, mentioned in the Quran, and there are several ways a person can reduce in hidayah in the Quran. What we have here, this concept is that when a person brings iman and they do righteous deeds, they struggle in the path of Allah, then Allah will increase the buziyati of the iman, just like in this case. So here, this is the penultimate story of a group of people, a group of youth. If you go back, there's another story about Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam. That was the story of one youth, one young man. This is a story of a group of youth and tells us what should a group of youth do. And what we learned here is, this group of youth were Hanif. Hanif means that they were able to come to this belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there was no Nabi at that time that they were following. They were Hanif, they were pure inside of themselves. They recognized the false ideology. They recognized the foul and false practices around them. They recognized the false society and idol worship, and they saw it. And because of that, they came to this belief that we have to believe in the one supreme God, right? And that's just the legacy of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. If you remember his kissa, that was also the same thing. So in one sense, they're also from that legacy of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. They're the hunafa. They're from the righteous, pious, pure people who are inherently, intrinsically pure. So then what does Allah's Father do? How does Allah's Father increase them in hidayah, this ziyati? Allah says, وَرَبَتْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, that we made them firm in their hearts. We consolidated their hearts. And it also means, that is dual meaning, it also means that we joined between their spiritual hearts. And in other words, we made them firm on their iman. And secondly, we connected them to one another. We joined them, we joined their hearts. We placed a rabt and a rabta between them. Both those meanings, they go simultaneously here, that we joined, we made their qulub mazboot, and we also linked and joined their spiritual hearts together. Right? So rather than facing the evils of the society or the pressures of the society individually and all alone, we made them into a jamaat, into a group. And today also, this is a lesson that a lot of secularism and all of the other ideologies, people try to convince you that deen is a do-it-alone religion. In fact, Islam is not a do-it-alone religion. Islam is a religion of people, of association, of maintaining connections and relationship with other people. And what happens is that, you know, this ideology will teach you that you don't need a leader, you don't need an ustad, and secondly, we'll say that why do you need to have groups, right? Why do you have this taqwa group and sunnat group and neki group and this Quran group, right? Actually, Allah is saying this is a good group. Allah made them into a group. Allah put a spiritual connection, rabta, rabta between each of their hearts, their spiritual hearts. And as a result of this, they had mutual love for each other, respect for each other. They would have contentment with each other, as opposed to having suspicion for the other person or disharmony or distrust for one another. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this rabt was because they were leaving the society. They didn't know each other. Right? And there was always this danger, we're always worrying that maybe the other person might betray me. Maybe he's a traitor. Maybe he's like inside secret service, right? He's working for the government. So Allah wanted to free them from all such worry and all such distrust and deceit, disharmony. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joined their hearts, and Allah ta'ala wanted their hearts to become completely pure of one another. And again, the word that Allah uses is رَبَطْنَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ قَلْبِ. This refers to your spiritual heart. And this word is repeated many times in the Quran, right? Qalb, referring to your spiritual heart. In fact, this is quite important in our deen. The Prophet ﷺ has said that if a person can fix their spiritual heart, then all the actions of that person will be fixed. And if the spiritual heart becomes corrupt, then all the actions emanating from that person will also be corrupt. And where does this spiritual heart lie? Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that this heart is between the two fingers of Allah. And Allah can change this heart wherever He wishes. And this hidayah comes from Allah. Allah can give this hidayah and Allah can change a person's heart.
can incline this person's heart towards Nekhi, towards piety, towards purity, right? And that sometimes, you know, we can use this as a way to make dua to Allah. That Allah, you have said that my heart is between your two fingers, so I ask you that you change my heart, you turn my heart towards that which is pleasing in your sight. So because of this rabt, now what happened? When their hearts were consolidated, so they stood up. إِذَا قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So they stood up and they're standing now before the king, before that ruler who does not believe, who's a disbeliever. Because of their consolidation, they're able to stand up before the king and they're able to say to that king, رَبُّنَا, that our Lord, our Rabb, is that Lord, رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, who's Lord of all of the heavens, of all the skies, the firmaments, وَالْأَرْضِ, and he's the Lord of the earth. In one sense, you can say this means the Rabb, he's the Rabb of the heavens and the Rabb of the universe, right? They were such lovers of Allah, such ashik majnoon, that they're standing before a king who they know will persecute them, prosecute them, oppress them. But now they have this iman and yaqeen and hidayah. They're standing and proclaiming the azmat of Allah, the majesty of Allah. And not only proclaiming the majesty of Allah, they say, لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَا. We will never ever call upon any other being other than Him. And he was shirk se bezari kar, that we completely are absolving ourselves of this shirk of anyone else, right? No one is worthy of worship except Allah. You know, this is the announcement of Tawheed. Every word you see here, you can see their yaqeen, you can see their azmat, you can see their reliance on Allah, you can see their iman is dripping, right? Standing before their tyrant and proclaiming and announcing what Tawheed they have in their hearts. And this is something which goes all the way back to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ also, when he was faced with certain situations, Abu Talib came to him and said that, oh my beloved nephew, chhod de ye sab cheezein, don't invite people towards Islam. Hum aapko will give you so much wealth, will give you so much women, will give you so much of the dunya. And the Prophet ﷺ said that if you keep sun in my one hand, the moon in the other hand, I will not let go of this message of iman. Yani jab andar ek rabat, when this hidayah enters into a person's heart and their hearts become mazboot, this is how a person acts like that. Who Allah ka naam lete hain, then they don't care about anyone else. This is what the Prophet mentioned in the hadith also, that the best jihad that a person can do is to say kalimat-e haq, is to say the truthful word haq kalma before a tyrant king, before a tyrant ruler. And that's what these Ashab-e Kahf were doing, that's their sunnah, right? Once you receive this hidayah from Allah, your hearts are consolidated, they took the name of Allah and they forgot about everything else, right? They forgot where they're standing, negated everything else, sab cheez ki nafi kar de, right? Allah was enough for them. Man kana lillah, kana Allahu lahu. You become for Allah, Allah becomes for you. Then they continue, لَقَدْ كُلْنَا إِذًا شَدَتَ. That, and this was part of their dua, that if we say something other than the truth, right? If we do shirk, then we would be saying something which is other than the truth. Shatata means there is an extremely grievous, a manifest error if we were to say anything other than this tawheed. So not only are they mentioning their tawheed, they're also declaring that this shirk is utter, absolute falsehood. Right? And they're saying all of this on their own. Right? What they're saying is not even one shade less than a Nabi. Right? Jo Anbiya alayhi salam or the Mursaleen and Anbiya alayhi salam, unki jo daawat hoti thi, unki jo announcement hoti thi, their proclamation, that's what these people are doing. That's what people are saying on their own. And this is quite incredible because they're non-Anbiya, non-prophetic human beings who have this purity in their heart to be able to make this statement, make this announcement. And we should think that these people will also be there in Yawm al-Qiyam, on the Day of Judgment. Students, they understand this, will have relative marking, right? We will be graded accordingly, right? With such people will also be there, right? And these words, this announcement of Tawheed was so beloved to Allah, was so precise and concise, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made those words, the words of the Ashab-e Kahf, part of his Quran, part of his Kalamullah. part of his own speech. He wanted Sayyidina Rasulullah to recite the words of a Sabiqah. He wanted all the Sahaba to recite the words of a Sabiqah. He wanted the whole Ummah that they should recite these words of the Sabiqah. Allah wanted that every year in Ramadan, all over the world, people would remember, people would remind themselves that Allah loved these youth. These were beloved in the sight of Allah, and that's why now you can understand the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that among the seven categories of people who will be shaded by the throne, by the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, when there will be no other shade except for the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of them would be those young men and young women who gave themselves entirely to the love and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This does not mean that you leave your studies, that they left their studies. What this means is that they became pure, they became pious, they gave their youth. They didn't think that, you know, I'll wait, I'm going to get older, and then I'm going to become religious, right? I'm a teenager, I'm going to experiment everything, and I'm going to try everything, and I'm going to do everything, and smell everything, right? And then I'll become religious, SNA, right? They gave their prime to Allah. And whenever a youth does it, this surah is showing us, this is the fundamental message, that Allah honors that sacrifice. Allah values it. This whole surah is giving a very, very big lesson. It's this pious youth of the Ummah that will save us from the fitna of the Dajjal. I've searched the first 10 ayat. If you can just go back to the first 10 ayat. The first 8 ayat are about introduction, and the 2 ayat are about these people, the Ashabi Kahf, right? The first 8 ayat before the Ashab-e Kahf, and just 2 ayat referring to the Ashab-e Kahf, these youth, that's enough to save the entire Ummah from this fitna of the Dajjal. That's the power, right, of the piety of the youth, and that's exactly what atheism and secularism is against, right? They're after this. That's their, you know, they're after gold. They want the youth to become distant from the deen of Islam, because they know, if they can get the college and the university students, right, if the youth to leave their deen, then there's no power that can stand in front of this fitna of the Dajjal, right? Another thing that they're going to do, Ashab-e Kahf, is that they're going to make hijrah. They'll say that we cannot live in this society. How can we continue to live in such a society? We're going to make hijrah. And this again goes back, the Prophet taught us to make hijrah, the Prophet taught the Sahaba to make hijrah. There was a hijrah to Abyssinia first, and then a hijrah from Makkah Mukarrama to Madina Tayyibah. These youth also, without any Nabi, on their own, because of their Hanif fitrat, they realize that what should our response be in such a situation? Our response should be that we have to make hijrah. And the lesson for the youth as well is the same, that if we cannot make physical hijrah, then at the very least to make hijrah from all those friends, those who sort of don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or those friends who don't love Allah ta'ala, or those friends who don't sort of observe the haya of Allah, so that we can become the people of hijrah. And if we want to be true in our relationship to Allah and be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be able to make that hijrah from zalalat to hidayat, right? To be able to make that hijrah from those things which are displeasing to things that are pleasing to Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, Ha'ulai kaumuna, these people, they say, Ha'ulai kaumuna ittakhadu min dunihi aliha. Indeed, these people, this society, this qawm of ours, they've adopted as gods other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've taken gods other than Allah as their Rabb. And say, Lawla ya'tuna alayhim bi sultanim bayyin. Said, why don't they bring any clear and manifest proof and evidence for what they have done? And if there is no proof for what they have done, right? They're an error. فَمَنْ أَذْنَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِيبًا. That indeed, who can be more manifestly an error? Who can be more wrong? Who can be more unjust? Who can be a greater zalim than that person who invents and fabricates a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and attributes that lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Here they're talking about this lie of shirk, that these people are doing shirk against Allah, and they're attributing that lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can be more unjust than this, right? So from this we understand that when a person gets Iman and Hidayat in their heart, they have to remain steadfast. And the competition sometimes comes because of your society. Like these people, how like Kaumuna, our Kaum, our society, our culture, our fashion, right? These people have made other gods other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the lesson here, that when a person believes in Allah, they also should not look at the tarz of their forefather, right? If your forefathers, if someone's society is not living in accordance with the deen of Islam, you should not follow their rasam and ravaj. Just for the sake, because they were doing something, your rasam, rivaj, fuzuliyat, the person should let go of these things. If they stand in their path towards Allah, if they stand as an obstruction to Allah, if they stand in defiance to Allah, a person needs to let go of these cultural baggage, right? We need to let go of these usul. And today, a lot of, you know, if you look at our society, a lot of, you know, the mistakes that happen, unfortunately and tragically, it's because we give preference to these rusum and rivajat, right? And we give them more preference and priority than we should give, right? We prefer them over the ahkam, over the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, dur jane ki baat nahi hai, nikah ko dekh le, right? Nikah rishta tay hone se lekar, aur rishta jab tak mukammal nahi ho jata, there's so many rasam, rivajat jo hoti hain, which have nothing to do with Islam, right? We give tarjeeh to them, and in process we violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when you have turned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا تَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَعْبُوا إِلَى الْكَافِ. Then when you have turned away from them, those people who are doing shirk, engaged in idol worship, وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and the idols that they worship. And indeed, Ashabi Kaf had two challenges. They had to turn away from the fitna of that society, from the idol worship itself, and also those people who are engaged in that fitna. And that's also our challenge, right? You will have false ideologies, you have to turn away from them, and also those people who are engaged in those false ideologies, people following, or who gave themselves to those false ideologies. What they did was إِذَا تَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ. In Arabic, this word azal or اِتِزَال means they detached themselves. They detached themselves, and this is the notion of khalwa, that they secluded themselves. And again, this is something which you can link back to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. When the first revelation came to the Prophet ﷺ, there were so many possibilities where the Prophet ﷺ could have received the first revelation. The Prophet ﷺ could have received the first revelation on the marketplace, Makkah Mukarramah, in his house, on the street, so many possibilities, right? But where does the first revelation catch the Prophet ﷺ? When the Prophet ﷺ has secluded himself, he's detached himself from the society, and he's reflecting solitude, seclusion in a cave called Ghari Hira. And this is phenomenal, because if you go back 1400 years ago, what is Makkah Mukarramah at that point? It's already a very simple city, right? Delete all the Saudi buildings, delete all the construction, very simple, right? And still Allah's Father wants the Prophet ﷺ to go in Ghari Hira, and that's where the first revelation comes. And there's a message here that you have to disconnect. If you need to attach to Allah, if you need to connect to Allah, prior you have to disconnect. And the Prophet ﷺ got the revelation, and the same thing happened here with the Ashabi Kahf. So it's not simply for a prophet to disconnect. We have an example of a non-prophetic human beings who disconnected, went in some khalwa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved their iman. And this is the philosophy behind i'tikaf, you disconnect. This is the philosophy behind going for a hajj and umrah, you detach yourself. Now maybe, you know, we cannot physically seclude ourselves in this world, but what we can do is that we can at least protect our heart. We can disconnect our heart from the forces that are around us. And we can attach our heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's something which can be done even when a person is teaching in a university or studying in a university. That a person receives inside their heart and they attach their heart to Allah. So in one sense, your heart becomes like a cave. Allah, just like the Ashabi Kahf, in order to protect themselves from the fitnas of this world, they sought refuge in a physical cave. Allah, I make intention to you that I'm walking on this campus, I'm receding deep inside my heart. And I'm remembering you inside my heart becomes my cave, and I ask you to save me from the fitnas and different ideologies and philosophies that are outside of me. Right? That could be one way we can also practice and live this sunnah of khalwa and emulate the way of the Ashabul Kahf. However, what they decided to do was fahu ila al-kahfi. Then they went and took sanctuary inside a cave. So they decided to cut themselves off from society, spurn their families, spurn the society, spurn all the false ideologies, false parties, false people around them. They took refuge inside a cave. Yanshur lakum rabbukum mir rahmatihi. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did nashr of his rahmah. Nashr, okay, if your Urdu is good enough, nashr means broadcasted. Allah broadcasted his rahmah. Allah enveloped them with his rahmah. Allah surrounded them, encompassed them with his mercy. Number one, وَيُحَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقَ. And Allah Subhanahu then provided ease to them in all of their matters. And this is a very big lesson, that if we leave sin, if we leave shirk, then Allah Subhanahu will send his mercy down on us. Allah will do nashr of his mercy, he will broadcast, he will shower down that mercy upon a person. When a person, they make this hijrah from any sin or any shirk that they're doing. And secondly, that Allah will not just simply shower you with his mercy, but also Allah will make task easy for you. Because when you will be running away from the, when you will be trying to save yourself from sin, for the sake of Allah, maybe there won't be people who will try to bring you back. People will try to pull you back, will try to apply pressure on you. And the whole task of connecting to Allah will become difficult for you. Allah is saying, this is the second help of Allah, that Allah will give you ease. Allah will facilitate that matter. Allah will make it easy. Whenever you try to leave sin, Allah will grant you ease in that attempt. And this is what happened to these Ashabul Kahf. Now, I want to take a step back here and link this kahf, this cave, with this, what I mentioned at the beginning of the surah, that when a person recites this, they're able to save themselves from Dajjal. What is the link between this story and the protection a person can get from Dajjal? The link here is that Ashabul Kahf are actually teaching us how a person can save their iman. That if we want to save ourselves from the fitnas, if you want to save ourselves from the greatest of fitna, which is the fitna of Dajjal, right? If you want to face ourselves from the precursors to Dajjal, the fitnas that are precursors to the Dajjal, if you want to save ourselves from these ideologies of atheism and agnosticism, kufr and shirk, then Ashabul Kahf are teaching us a lesson here, right? And this is important because we are living in Qurb-e-Qiyamat. Qurb-e-Qiyamat is a zamana where you will have fitnas. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said there will be so many fitnas, you will wake up in a state of iman. And a person will go to his bed in the evening, and that iman will be taken away from their heart. That's the zamana that we are living in, right? So, if we are living in such a situation, and we feel we don't have that resources, saving ourselves from fitna is difficult, right? What's the lesson? How can we remain focused on our iman? Then we have to follow the sunnah of the Ashabul Kahf, which is that we also have to take a sanctuary in a cave, in a kahf. Fahu ila al-kahf. Take refuge in a cave. And if you take refuge in a cave, then your iman will remain intact, and you will save yourself from bad environment, and you will be able to live according to Islam. But what are the caves for us? What are the kahf for us? This is the question. So the ulama have mentioned there are five kahf for us living in this zamana. Five caves that if we can attach ourselves to, then we can also protect ourselves from the fitna and also the fitna of Dajjal. First is, the first cave are these institutions of Islamic learning. Places where you can learn deen of Islam, the ilm of Islam. Whether you want to call that madrasa, whether you want to call that seminary, whatever you want to call it. for places where you learn Quran, where you learn the deen of Islam, right? Whoever attaches oneself to these places of learning, their iman will be mahfuz, their amal will be mahfuz, their akhirat will become mahfuz. Fitnas cannot deceive such a person, right? Why am I saying this? Because Allah has promised us in the Quran. Allah says in Quran, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Then indeed we have taken upon us this responsibility to protect the Quran. What does this mean? This means that Allah will do hifazat of the Quran. How will this hifazat operate? So, people who are the Qari. Qari are those who are the protectors of the roof of the Quran. People who are Hafiz. Hafiz are the protectors of the wordings of the Quran. Scholars and alim are those who are the protectors of the meanings of the Quran. And likewise, we have people who are the protectors of the feelings of the Quran. And when Allah is saying Allah is protecting the Quran, Allah is protecting the whole thing. The alfaz, the huruf, the ma'ani, and the feelings. All of that are protected, which means that these people will also be protected by Allah. Till the end, because Quran will be preserved till Yawm al-Qiyamah, till the very end. Means that these people will also exist. Allah has devised a system in such a way that these institutes of learning, this is where Quran is being protected. This is where you're getting ta'aleem al-Quran. This is where you're getting the meanings and feelings. Means that whoever attaches himself to such institutes of learning, then iman will be saved. Number two, second kahf is the company of those who are close to Allah, the ahlullah, the friends of Allah. Good company. Sohbat. Sohbat is salihin. Sohbat is sadiqin. Right? When a person attaches themselves to those who are close to Allah, puts themselves in their company, that good company also becomes a reminder, also becomes a remembrance, also becomes a sanctuary, a refuge and a protection for that person. This can be physical good company. This can also be cyber sohbah. Right now, the opportunities are much more. Right? But those who attach themselves to any work of deen, when you attach yourselves to work of deen, you are doing work of deen because of the barakah of doing work of deen. Allah will safeguard your own deen. Allah will protect your own deen. So whether this is simply, you know, inviting other people or some other ways in which you are doing any work of deen, you're related, you're connected, you make this your gham, you make this also part of your desire, you make this part of your mission, your vision, your goal, your life, your purpose, that person will also be saved, right? The fourth kahf is Quran itself. Quran is a kahf. Whoever, any individual, man or woman, they learn the Quran, they study the Quran, they reflect on the Quran, they understand the Quran, they attach themselves to the Quran. Quran is shifa'u lima fi sudur. It's a cure for the hearts of the people. It's a protection. Quran ki apni barakat hai. Quran saves a person's iman. Right? This Quran is so strong. It's so ba-barakat. That's why the Prophet said, tabarrak bil Quran fa innahu kalamullah. That seek a barakah from this Quran because this is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fifth and the last kahf is Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Munawwarah. So like I mentioned to you that the Dajjal will be able to travel the whole world. His fitna will spread every single way. However, he will not be able to enter two cities, Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Tayyibah. In one of these it's mentioned that the angels, Saf Banaqid, will be protecting. They'll be protecting these two cities. And that's why if we can, we can also make niyat of doing hijrah to these two places, right? If you have the wasal and you have the asbab. With the niyat that if you're in those two places, perhaps we can save our iman and save ourselves from this fitna of the Dajjal. So these are the five kahf that we can attach ourselves to, then inshallah we can save ourselves from this fitna. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when Allah ta'ala had showered His mercy upon them, and provide them ease. So Allah mentioned five different ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this ease and mercy upon them. Number one, وَتَرَ الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَذَابَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ. Practically, Allah has mentioned the physical aspects of that ease, that you would see that that do you see that when the sun, it comes over their cave, it would sidestep the cave. Tazavaru, it would bend, it would slightly circumvent. Yani the rays of the light, they won't fall directly inside the cave, they would bend. There will be a refraction or a reflection. So you will get the light inside, but it won't be that harmful rays, right? So that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we are going to give them. The sun is going to sidestep on kafim zat al yameen. Wa idha gharabat taqriduhum zat al shimal. And when the sun would set, again it would sidestep towards the left. Wahum fi fajwatin min, and the ashab-e kaf, they will be lying in the middle. Fajwatin means a valley. It's like an opening which is between two great mountains, right? So they would be lying in this open capacity, open area in between, inside the cave. ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. So Allah Ta'ala mentions that this is one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the signs of Allah, that Allah has positioned the cave in such a way that the sun rays will not be able to harm them. And this was done as a way to help them. And we can also take, some have also taken a more amumi mana, a more amumi lesson from this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help us in this world using asbab, using means, right? And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also help us bila asbab, without any means, right? Just like that story of Imam Maryam alayhi salam, Allah provided her fruits without season, unseasonal fruits. So Allah asbab ke zariye bhi madad kar sakte hai, Allah wo zaat hai jo baghair kisi asbab ki bhi insaan ki madad kar sakte. This means that if a person, they want to leave shirk and false belief and sin, then Allah can send His madad and nusrat and help upon them through asbab, but also without any asbab. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ. Then Allah says that whomsoever Allah guides, indeed that person will be rightly guided. Allah guides, that person will be amongst the muhtad. وَمَنْ يُدْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. And that person who is misguided, they will have no wali and they will have no murshid. So there are two words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here. Wali means that person who is misguided, who accepts kufr, who accepts shirk, they will not be able to find any wali, any benefactor, any protecting friend. And murshid means any guide. Any person who gives you rushd and hidayat, who gives you wisdom, who provides you that guidance. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here that these people who chose to remain on this path of misguidance, on their disbelief, on their kufr, on their shirk, then Allah let them remain on that path. Allah let them stray on that path. But when they stray on that path, they are straying in such a way, in such a state, that they have no, Allah is not their protecting friend, nor is Allah going to be their murshid, nor will Allah going to guide them towards rushd and wisdom. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاذًا وَهُمْ رُكُودٌ. This is the second way Allah helped them. Allah says that when it seemed, if you were to look at them, it seemed as if they are awake. In fact, however, they're sleeping. Now, Allahu a'lam what this means. Some people speculate that perhaps they were sleeping with their eyes open. And if you walk past them, then it will look like they're awake. Another meaning could be that, which has a more textual basis, that they were sleeping, but they had a light sleep. And to a person who was just passing by, it would seem that they're really awake, right? And either way, what we learn here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in some kind of, you know, still stop button, right? They were suspended in life and they were sleeping, they had this light sleep, and people who passed by, they felt that perhaps they're awake, so that no one would want to enter inside and disturb them or try to persecute or prosecute against them. This was again a means that Allah wanted to help the Ashab-e Kahf. Number three. وَنُكَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. Allah says that we turned them, تَقَلُّبُ, we turned them on their sides, on their right and on their left. So this is a bit more medical phenomena here. that if you sleep on one side for a very long time, your doctors will tell you that you get sores, bed sores. And that's why you need to keep on changing. And today in your hospitals, unfortunately, you have these Nabhanam maids who come up and they turn you. And the nurses will turn you around. That's what actually is happening here. Allah's Father would send angels down from the sky in order to preserve their body, protect their body. Allah send these angels who would change their karavat so that they don't get sores on their body. And Allah had so much fikr about the preservation of their physical body, right? And this is again a nukta which goes back very early, that those people who denied that there is no resurrection, that Allah cannot raise a person once everything is dead. Allah is saying, no, I can do bodily preservation also. When your preservation, when your resurrection will happen, you'll be resurrected body and soul. Because that's coming later, right? So Allah SWT took part in their bodily preservation. This was the third way in which Allah SWT helped them. Number four. Now this is verse number 19. The dog is mentioned, the famous Kutta of the Ashab-e Kahf. Right? وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَسِيلِ. And then their dog, kalbuhum, this is kalbuhum as opposed to kalb. This is a slight nukta of tajweed. Kalb means dog. Kalb means your heart. Sare maine upar niche ho jayenge, right? Kalbuhum. Basitun, he is spread. Dhira'aihi, his four legs. Bilwasid. This word of wasid is one of the mushkilat of the Quran. Very difficult to pin down the meanings of this word wasid. Wasid can mean sand. One meaning of wasid is it refers to the opening of the cave, the mouth of the cave. This dog, he spread his paws at the mouth, at the entrance of the cave. Some say that the people of the Ashab-e Kahf, they were in the inner chamber of the cave, and there was a spacious area, and at the entry point in that spacious area, you can say the courtyard, and that's where the dog was. And that's where the dog had spread his four legs and was lying. Either way, you know, you have this word wasid, which means that the dog, he had spread his four legs and he was guarding the entrance of the cave. And again, this was quite inspiring. Now what is mentioned, this is quite, you know, amazing here that Allah SWT is mentioning the dog. And what's the significance of the dog here? That this dog, all what he did was he had just attached himself to these people, the pious youth. And because of this attachment, he kept the sohbah, the company of this pious youth. And this company was so beneficial, was so beloved, that it raised the status of that dog to such an extent that Allah Subhanahu is mentioning the name, mentioning that dog in his own Quran, in his own kalam. Not only Allah Subhanahu is mentioning the dog in his own Quran, but the Mufassirin have written that when these people, Ashab-e Kahf, were sleeping, and this was not a sleep for 1 day, 2 day, 1 week, 1 month, they were sleeping for more than 300 years, 309 years. So obviously when their jism were being karvat di jari thi unko. So jab karvat dene ke liye farishte upar se aate the, to wo Ashab-e Kahf ki karvat badalte the. And Mufassirin have written that at that point they would also change the karvat of this kutta of the Ashab-e Kahf. This kutte ki karvat ko bhi badala karte the. Ye kutta kaisa janwar hai? In one hadith mentioned in Nisa'i Shri, the Prophet ﷺ said that if a dog comes and eats from your utensil, then you should purify it. Saat dafa pani se usko paak kare. Aatvi dafa ret mitti ke saath usko paak kare. To najasat itna najis ki aapko apne bartan paak karne padte hain. Lekin agar wohi kutta agar nekon ki sohbat mein aa jata hai, to arsh se farishte utarte hain uski karvat ko badalne ke liye. Ajeeb. Right? So this is the concept that the company of animals, right? The company has an effect. And that's why there's so much emphasis. Al maru ma'aman ahabba, a person will be with that person with whom he loves on the day of judgment. Right? in Tafsir Ruhul Maani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Mufassir have mentioned that there are 10 animals who would be going to Jannat. Isko thoda samajhna. 10 animals will be going into Jannat. Number one is the bakara, the cow, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, which is when Musa alayhi salam was asked to sacrifice. Number two is that whale, that poot, which of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Number three is the dumba of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, which was sacrificed in its stead. Number four was the hudhud, that bird which came to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam with that message of Malka Bilqis. Number five was that goat, that bachada, that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he served the angels. When the angels came as guests, he served that goat. Number six is the ant, Namla, who called Sayyidina Sulaiman, who called his fellow ants and said that be careful, the army of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam is coming. Udkhulu masakina, go enter into your village, enter into your homes. Number seven is the she camel of Sayyidina Saleh alayhi salam. She will also be going into Jannah. Number eight is the Burak, the horse of the Prophet will also be going into Jannah. Number nine is the donkey, the khachar of Hazrat Uzair alayhi salam, going into Jannah. And last, number 10, is this dog of Ashab-e Kahf. This kutta will also be going into Jannah. Main Urdu mein agar ek baat karun, na wo kya manzar hoga ke ye janwar to sare jannat mein ja rahe aur jisko Allah Taala ne aankhein di, Allah ne ashraful makhlooqat banaya, Allah gave us so many nematein, wo Hazrat Insan اپنی غلطیوں کی وجہ سے اپنی غفلتوں کی وجہ سے پھر جہنم. اگر اس وقت گدھے نے کہہ دیا کہ اے انسان آپ مجھے بیوقوف سمجھتے تھے, جب بھی گالی دینی ہوتی تھی تو آپ بیوقوفی کے لیے میرا نام لے کے آتے تھے, آج وہ بیوقوف تو جنت میں جا رہے, آپ اپنا عقلمند کہتے تھے, آپ کی عقلمندی کام کی کام کی. اگر وہ اصحاب کعب کا جو کتا تھا اگر وہ اس پر کہہ دے آپ تو مجھے ذلت کی نظر سے دیکھتے تھے, آپ نے تو میرا نام گالی بنا دیا تھا, تو حالانکہ میری حالت تو یہ تھی کہ آپ مجھے خشک روٹی کا ٹکڑا دیتے تھے, میں آپ کا دروازہ نہیں چھوڑتا تھا, اور آپ کا آپ کے اللہ کتنا کھانا دیتے تھے اور آپ کو اللہ کا دروازہ یاد نہیں آتا تھا, کہ میں تو پوری رات آپ کے دروازے کی پیرا دیتا تھا, حفاظت کرتا تھا, اور آپ رات کے اندر اٹھ کے دو رکعت نہیں پڑھ سکتے تھے. تو کتا جنت میں جا رہا ہے اور یہ انسان غفلت کی وجہ سے جانا. اس سے پہلے کہ وہ وقت آئے کہ ہم انسان حسرت کرے, ہمیں چاہیے کہ ہم اس کی حقیقت کو سمجھیں. دس از دا مقصد آف دا قرآن, to link it back to ourselves and to understand, right? کہ تو جانور ہی ہم سے بہتر نکلے گا, کتا اور گدا جنت میں چلے گا اور ہم پیچھے رہیں گے. Then Allah سبحانہ وتعالیٰ continues very strong wordings. Allah says, لَوِتَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ, that if you, Nabi alayhi salam, if you were to see them, if you were to be aware of them, if you were to look at them, gaze at them, لَوَلَّيْتَ, you would turn away. لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارَ, you would turn away and flee from them. فِرَار, بھاگیں گے. وَلَا مُلِقْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبَ, and you would go away in full awe. یعنی آپ کے دل ایک روب ہوگا. It means that the way Allah Spadr has suspended them was in a very awe-inspiring way. That if someone was to gaze upon them, they would be awe-struck. ان کے دل کے اندر ایک روب آ جاتا تھا. یعنی اللہ تعالیٰ نے ان کو اصحاب کہف کو ایک کوالٹی, ایک صفت دی تھی کہ پیپل وڈ لک ایٹ دیم اینڈ پیپل وڈ فیل اے بٹ نو سکیئرڈ. کہ وہ ایک, اس کو کہتے ہیں روب درویشانہ. اللہ تعالیٰ گیون دیم اے روب. اللہ سیز باد دس اباؤٹ دی پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, دیٹ اللہ ہیلپ دی پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم وِد روب, نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّوب, دیٹ اللہ ہیلپ می وِد دس روب, اینڈ دس روب آف دی پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم یوزڈ ٹو ٹریول 1 month ahead of the Prophet ﷺ. इन्हें कहीं जाना होता था, एक महीने पहले वो रोप पहले पहुंच जाता था in the other society, in the other cities, right? So this is how Allah helps those people. Whoever fears Allah, how does a person get this rope? Whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this rope in the hearts of other people, right? And these Ashab al-Kahf were given this rope by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why people would flee out of wonder, out of being awestruck. كَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَا. This is how Allah says, this is how we raise them up, right? Again, Allah will raise them up. Allah anticipates that some modernist will come later on and they will say that only spiritual resurrection will happen. There will be no bodily resurrection. People, aajkal bhi kuch log kehte hain ki sirf rooh hogi jisko zinda kiya jayega, ye jism usme gal jayega, everything will come to an end. It will just be destroyed, it won't become dust. Allah says, no, ba'athna, kadhalika ba'athna. We're going to raise them up, body and soul. Right? Ba'athna means dono cheezen would be resurrected. Right? Liyatasa'alu. Why would they be raised up? Liyatasa'alu bainahum. So one of them asked his companion, how long were you in this stage? Right? Liyatasa'alu, then ask among themselves, qala qa'ilu minhum kam labistum. That how long did you tarry in this stage? How long were you sleeping? قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. So they would say that we were in this state maybe for one day, or بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ, meaning just a portion of that day. قَالُوا رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ. Then another group, they would say that no, indeed your Rabb knows best how long you have tarried, how long you have stayed here. यानी देखिए कदम कदम पे अल्लाह याद आ रहे हैं उनका, right? रब्बुकुम आलम, योर लॉर्ड नोस हाउ लॉन्ग यू हैव स्टेड हियर. सो दे लीव इट टू अल्लाह. फब आसू. अच्छा, यहां से देयर इज आल्सो अनदर लेसन दैट वी कैन अंडरस्टैंड. व्हेन दे से रब्बुकुम आलम, दैट अल्लाह नोस बेस्ट हाउ लॉन्ग यू हैव स्टेड इन दिस स्टेट, हाउ लॉन्ग यू वर स्लीपिंग. दिस इज अ लेसन दैट समटाइम्स व्हेन यू आर फेस्ड विद एनी क्वेश्चन, आप अपनी तहकीक करें, यू डू योर रिसर्च एंड देन यू प्रेजेंट योर तहकीक, बट यू ऑल्सो से एट द एंड अल्लाहु आलम, दैट अल्लाह नोज बेस्ट व्हाट द एक्चुअल मामला इज, व्हाट द एक्चुअल हकीकत इज. ये नहीं कि उस पर अपने अपनी तहकीक करी और फिर लड़ने मरने जिताने पे आ गए कि बस यही चीज है, राइट? यू प्रेजेंट योर रिसर्च बट देन यू कैन से ला अदरी और अल्लाहु आलम. Allah and His Messenger knows best, just like these people were saying that Allah a'lam bima labistu. Allah knows best how long we were in this state. Then fab'athu ahadakum biwaraqikum. They sent one of their people, one of them, biwaraqikum hadhihi ila al-Madina. They went, one of them, with a silver coin, and they sent that person to the city and told them, فَلْيَنْزُرْ أَيُّهَا أَذْكَى طَعَامًا, that you should go to the city and you should try to find a pure food for us. أَذْكَى طَعَامًا, not just halal food. Halal to hota, طَعَامًا halalan hota. أَذْكَى is one step higher. A food which is halal and tayyab, which is wholesome, pure, pristine food. Go find such food that for us, right? Which is most wholesome, which is most spiritually pure as well. Halal and also spiritually pure. Yani abhi tak to behas kar rahe the, lekin bhook bhi lagi hogi because they woke up after such a long time. So phir jab bhook lagti hai na, to usme phir insaan is tarah ki behas karta hai. A futile behas, ki kitni, how many years were you sleeping? So one of them says, ki, sir, don't dispute, jao khana leke aao. Right? Pehle pet mein kuch jayega, to phir baat karenge. Right, so that's basically the idea. Don't dispute, go get roti and go get something for us to eat. So they send this person, go to the city, give them this warak. This is a silver coin. And this actually shows that there were people who were doing safar, who were doing journey, lekin they were carrying provisions with them. And this is the adab of journey, that when you make any journey, you should have something with you. Yani ki you end up in such a situation ki kisi bheek mangni pade, right? So you don't degrade yourself in front of other people. Tabakkul does not mean ki bas without any resource and provision you leave. Allah tabakkul, right? These people, they left, having relying on Allah's fatal, they had tawakkul. But tawakkul does not negate that you don't make use of asbab. They carried money with them, they carried provisions with them, they had them with them, right? And the benefit of this is that you don't have to beg other people then, right? That you can pay for the food you with your own money. And what is else they're mentioning here is ayyuha azka ta'am, get food which is rizq-e halal tayyab. And this is extremely important for any person who wants to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two things: sidqi maqal, which means to be truthful in your speech, and this we already did with you before. Truthful, right? That's the sifat of a mu'min. And number two is rizq-e halal. Rizq-e halal, right? I'll tell you a true story. Maybe I'll just end with this last ayah. There was someone in the U.S., a young woman who accepted Islam, reverted from Christianity. And she, her parents, her other relatives were all still non-Muslims, were still Christians, and she was looking for an opportunity to give them da'wah, to invite them towards Islam. And you know, every time she used to speak about Islam, we just sort of turn the discussion in some other direction. They would have a semester break, and for 3 days they have to go to some place just for retreat. And those 3 days she said that I made this intention, okay, whatever food my family will eat, I will cook that food myself. And she said that I made intention ki main ko halal rizq e tayyab khilaungi aur khilate waqt aur pakate waqt main Allah ka zikr karungi, I will recite some kalam, I'll be thinking about Allah and make that food and present that food, and perhaps, you know, maybe Allah will put barakah in this food. And she did this for three consecutive days. On the third day, when they were about to leave, they were sitting, and you know, the family just started asking questions, can you have accepted Islam? Tell us a bit about Islam. Aur wo karte, 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 by the end of that conversation, all of them recited the kalma and became Muslim. This is a true story, this happened, right? کہ صرف کھانے کی برکت تھی اور اس کی برکت سے اللہ gave them the topic to accept Islam. This is very important. I cannot highlight and I cannot stress how important this is to ensure that the food, that the earnings, lawful earnings, right? You stay away from doubtful earnings, from interest, riba, ensure that you have halal source of income and you use that halal source of income and earnings to earn, to get halal risk. And you feed that to yourself, feed that to other people. Right, I was married, right? So, we do a lot of ehtimam for this, right? To ensure that the food would be the least that we can do is that when you're cooking the food, try to be in a state of wudu, right? And then the higher stages that you can be thinking about Allah, you can be reciting durood. Right, you can go on. That is a barakah, right? And this ayat is actually mentioned, the barakah of that food. وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ. Second thing they told him, that when you go get the food, second thing is that you must act in a polite manner. وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ means ke narmi ka maamla karna. In the Quran, in terms of wordings, this word wal yatalattaf is the central word of the whole Quran. And that's why in some nuskha you will find thoda mota huruf mein likha hota hai. This is the middle word of the Quran. And the reason what's so special about this word, that is Allah chose this to be the central word of the whole of Quran, the reason is the meaning. The meaning is ke chahiye ki tum narmi se baat karo. Allah loves this softness so much that Allah chose this word to be the central word of the whole Quran. Allah loves those people who are soft-hearted. In one hadith it comes, when a person brings softness into any affair, that act becomes beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this softness was so beloved, people say, nahi, main thoda sakti se baat karunga, and that person is not even believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I should speak with him a bit firmly. In Quran, Allah gives us a lesson. The story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, two Nabi, Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, being sent to the greatest of tyrants, to Fir'aun. And They're going there with this dawah, inviting Fir'aun to bring, to accept this message of Tawheed. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah says that, O Musa alayhi salam, O Harun alayhi salam, when you go there, فَقُولَا, speak to him, قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, speak to him softly. Speak to him softly. Fir'aun se baat kar rahe, but speak to him softly, means that jo bhi daawat dene wale hain, there's a lesson here, ki jitni bhi daawat dene wale hain, wo Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam aur Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam se zyada afzal to nahi ho sakte, right? Aur jisko aap daawat de rahe hain, wo Fir'aun se zyada bura bhi nahi ho sakta. So Allah Quran mein farma rahe hain ki Musa alayhi salam Fir'aun ko daawat de rahe hain, par nasihat ye hai, qawlan layyina, narmi se baat karna, which means that if we also want to speak to other people, invite other people, the adab of inviting other people is that you speak softly. You have narmi, softness, kind hearted, rahim dil hona. Wala yush'iranna bikum ahada, and you should not let anyone know about you. Right? So three things being mentioned here. That number one, go get food, adhaka ta'a. Number two, that act in the best of adab, softly, best of akhlaq. And number three, no one should get to know about you or who you are, because even now they're scared. All these years have passed by, all of this time has passed by, they're still worried about the possibility of persecution, the possibility of prosecution. You can just imagine how tyrannical, right, that society would be, that wo surreptitiously, secretly, ek bande ko bhej rahe khana dalane ke liye, khana lane ke liye, aur usko bhi nasihat farma rahe chupke se jana taki koi aapko pehchan na le, right? And this also gives us a lesson that why are they saying this? Innahum, now Allah reveals this, innahum iyadharu alaykum aw yu'idukum fi millatihim, because if they become aware of your presence, then iyadharu alaykum, if they become aware of your presence, then yarjumukum, they will stone you to death. Rajam kare, they'll stone you. Aw, or yu'idukum fi millatihim, they will try to return you back to their own millat. Ye millat, this is the game, this is the name of the game. It's not that they're going to try you and bring you back to your religion, right, to your religion. Allah is teaching us in the Quran that when a young man or a young girl, they try to leave their false company, their false friends, false society, false parties, and tries to live a life that is pure for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when he goes back to get some small encouragement, to get food, right, then there are still people waiting for him. There are people waiting to catch him. There are people waiting who will try to stone him, right? Try to stone him, condemn him with words. Stone him with words, right? Say harsh things, harsh words to him. And they want to try their level best to ensure that their friend of theirs comes back to their own millah. They're going to come back. My friend, he comes back to his old ways. He comes back. They'll apply peer pressure. Peer pressure on him so that he comes back and he engages in all those unlawful, impermissible ways that he used to do, that he fled from in the first place. Right? And they say, وَلَنْ تُفْلِهُ إِذَنْ أَبَدًا. However, if we were to do this, if a person does that, you will never ever, لَنْ تُفْلِهُ, you will never ever be able to gain falah, right? You will never ever be able to gain success in this dunya. You will never ever be able to gain success in the akhirah. So this is all that they told to that one man who went back, right? So we will stop here. And inshallah, next time we're going to continue this story. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. If there are any questions, I'm going to be here for some time. You can ask me questions.